And I have known your pastor for a long, long time. I did pick him up on the church bus many, many years ago. He brought that up, made me feel like I need a nap. So, anyway, very thankful to be here. And we've been praying that we'd see God do, excuse me, what no man can take credit for. That's what we want, right?
Amen.
I mean, there is a God in heaven. He is still alive. Wouldn't be any reason to sit here, be here, if that wasn't so. And so we're trusting him. And throughout the week, I hope you've already decided to be here for every service. I think it's important that we are, so that we don't miss what God has for us. Your pastor prayed. He planned for this meeting. This is God's will for this church, this meeting. And so along the way somewhere, certainly God's going to speak to hearts and try to do what only he can do. The thing is that none of us have arrived.
Amen.
I'm just saying that none of us are where we really need to be in our Christianity. I mean, we may be doing well. I'm not saying that we're not doing well, but somewhere along the way, there's something in our life that God is still trying to deal with, because we're not going to arrive until we drop this old robe of flesh and go to be with him.
Amen.
And so this week is an opportunity. It's a chance to allow God to do something in our hearts and lives that will last for the rest of our days here on earth. And I'm thankful. I encourage you to be here. And as you pray this week, and we certainly need your prayers. So several different people have said this morning as I've met you, you know, we've been praying, and I just said, don't stop. Don't stop praying. Now I need your prayers really bad. But let me encourage you, if you don't pray any other way this week, and probably for the rest of the services in your life, pray this way. Lord, if you don't speak to anyone else, speak to me.
Amen.
We have a personal God.
Amen.
A personal God. And he wants to help us. He wants to. I mean, he loves us more than we can even understand. And he's a life-changing God. I know that because, well, what God saved me out of. We'll get into all that later on. We're going to go to John chapter 15 this morning for the Sunday school time, the Bible time, and see what God has for us there. Is there anybody in here who? Not. Let me try to rephrase this. Who in here would say that you have trouble with your prayer life? No, I mean, it's pretty much universal, truly.
Yeah.
It is. And you know, we'll never be everything that God wants us to be until we learn to pray.
Right.
And until we pray. And I want to address that a little bit, because I think that Jesus gives us some answers here in John chapter 15 about that very thing. And certainly we want to be victorious in our Christian life. I mean, we want God to help us to overcome things, but it's not going to happen just because we hope that it happens.
Right.
He created man for fellowship, so he wants us to fellowship with him. And part of that is that we would pray. I mean, that's talking to him, that's spending time with him. And I really believe that God gave us some answers right here, Jesus speaking in John chapter 15. We're going to begin reading there in verse number 1 and read down away, and then focus on one verse this morning. If you'll follow along, I'll try to read. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse number 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 7 is where we're going to focus this morning for these next few minutes. Let's all read it aloud together. Will you do that with me? Let's all read it aloud, kind of get our mind wrapped around it, and then we'll go on with the lesson this morning. Are you ready? Here we go. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's pray one more time. Father, bless the teaching of your word. Give guidance as only you can. Speak to our hearts and help us with this. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. And please, please be seated. The promises from God about answered prayer, I really believe, are probably some of the most misunderstood and misinterpreted promises in the Bible. And here's the thing. We love the promises. We just don't care a lot about the requirements that go along with the promises. God always works like this. If we get this down, we're going to go much further, because God always works like this. God says, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And so many times we, when we're talking to God, say, God, if you'll just do this, then I'll do this. But that's not the way God works. It's not the way he works. All the way through the Bible, God says, if you will do this, then I will do this. We want to bargain with God. God, if you'll just fix this. God, if you'll just give me this. God, if you'll just do this, then I'll do this. But that's not the way that God works. Amen. He always says, if you will do this, then I will do this. Right. So, in all reality, to get answers to prayer or desire has to be more than just to get prayers answered. I mean, it's not good enough to, I guess what I'm trying to say, it's not good enough to just simply go through the mechanics of prayer. There's more to it. I mean, if we're not careful, we can get into this religious duty to where we pray, like we can pray all the way around the world with our prayer list in about 15 minutes and go on about our day. And it's just religion. I'm glad I'm not stuck in religion. I'm glad I truly have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm very thankful for that. Anyway, two things are needful that we see here in what Jesus is telling us if we're going to increase our prayer life. Excuse me. He says again, if ye abide, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So we have to learn to abide in the Savior. Abide in the Savior. He said, if ye abide in me. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything good in our life is going to hinge on our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know that we can never be saved. We understand we can never be saved outside of a relationship with Christ. We can never know the Father, the Heavenly Father, except through Him. And truly, we can never even serve God completely the way we need to until we submit ourselves to Him. Come on, as Lord, I'm not talking about Lordship salvation, but we have to make Him the Lord of our life, don't we? Come on, he's Lord no matter what. But there has to come a time after we get saved that we make him the Lord of our life, that we say, Lord, I am yours, and whatever you want to do in my life, whatever you want me to be, wherever you want me to go, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And we have to do that because God does not make us do anything. Right. He doesn't make us do anything. No. We have to understand he's a loving, caring Heavenly Father. He's not going to push us to do anything. He will prompt us by His Holy Spirit. He gave us His Word that He can give us guidance, but He's not going to make you do anything. He's never made me read my Bible. He's never made me go to church. He's never made me pray. He's never made me do anything. Now, the conviction comes. Somebody say amen there. Conviction comes, and He tries to guide us by His precious Spirit. I'm thankful for all of that. But He does not make us. We have to submit ourselves to Him. I'm thankful He saved me in 1984, but really I didn't submit myself to Him as Lord until about 1989, and I hate that. I felt like I wasted a lot of my first 5 years of my salvation just simply because I wasn't submitting myself to Him. I wanted Him to do all these things in my life. I would ask Him, you know, Lord, if you'll just do this, I'll do this. No, I was stuck in that. And God just wants us to say, Lord, whatever you want. And when we do that, things begin to change. Anyway, we know that we need Christ as our Savior. We know that we have to learn to abide in Him. He said, if ye abide in me. So if we're going to abide, we have to be close to Christ. We have to be close to him. I mean, if we're never around him, we have a hard time abiding in him. And somebody might say, hold on, wait a minute, Brother Marcel. I mean, you know, I got saved and I mean, Christ lives in me and by the Holy Spirit and all. And so what are you talking about being close to him? Well, so what does it mean being close to Christ? What does that mean? We know that this verse isn't talking about salvation, although to be in Christ, you have to be born again. We understand that. But this is talking about spiritual fellowship. And fellowship has a different set of rules. I've known the Lord Jesus Christ this coming April for 40 years. I've had that type of relationship with him now for almost 40 years. Trusted Christ in April 1984. But you can be saved by the grace of God and not be in good fellowship with Christ. Isn't that right? I mean, we can know him as our personal Savior. It's the same. It's really the same as being a member of a family and not being in fellowship with that family. It's a real possibility, isn't it? I mean, we know that with children that are away from their family and things like that. We understand that. It has nothing to do with the blood relationship because that always remains the same. I'm saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful. That's why I have that relationship. And it's the same. It has everything to do with how much effort that we put into getting along with those to whom we are related. How much effort we put into getting along with people. I mean, if we're going to get along with someone, we have to work at that, don't we? And it's the same way. It's the same way with the Lord. So it has to do with our devotion. How much we're devoted. Because if we're going to be close to Christ, we must be devoted to him. It's kind of like when a couple first gets married and it doesn't seem like they can sit close enough to each other, you know? I mean, okay. So anyway, it's good. Sometimes that love cools a little bit and they sit a little farther apart and things like that. We can think about it, the church. The Bible example, the church in Ephesus was told that they had left their first love, not lost their first love. They left their first love and not being close to or leaving their first love, that was going to hinder all of their work, the church of Ephesus. You've left your first love, it's going to hinder everything that you do. See, we don't fall out of love. Well, I just fell out of love. No. That's Hollywood thinking. What happens is we just become less devoted to the one that we should be determined to love. Amen. Less devoted. And the church at Ephesus was told to repent because they had left their first love. In fact, they were told to repent or else. I mean, they were given that. So maybe it's what we need to do. Maybe we have left. We're not as close to him as we once were. Amen. Come on, it is possible. I mean, when I first got saved, I couldn't read my Bible enough. It was an amazing book. It's like, how come nobody ever showed me this stuff before? I mean, it was amazing. And everywhere I went, I talked to people about Jesus Christ. Everywhere I went, I mean, I just couldn't. I thought, this is the best kept secret in the world. I need to tell everybody about this. I mean, I didn't know. My testimony, we'll get into that maybe sometime this week. But anyway, I didn't know. And I'm ashamed to say, but there came a time that cooled off. And I didn't read my Bible as much. And I didn't talk to God as much. And that wasn't God's fault. Right. Right. It's just my love for him cooled. My devotion to him cooled. Which shouldn't happen. Amen. Shouldn't happen. So we have to be in communion with him. Abide in him. That's not just closeness. That's being in communication. Because it is possible, isn't it, to be in close proximity with someone else and not communicate with them? I mean, you think about it. You're sitting on a bus or a plane or right next to some person somewhere and not conversing with them. And so the closeness that Christ is explaining to us involves that communication. It involves both parties continually. I mean, that we are talking with him and we are reading his Bible and letting him speak to our hearts. That really, the fact of the matter is that we cannot afford to not be in contact with God. You know, Brother Marshall, it just seemed like I struggle with sins in my life, and it just, you know, it's just so hard, and I can't seem to get victory and all of these different things. Well, I'm telling you, if we're not abiding in Christ, if we don't have this close communion with Him, if we don't have this close communication with Him, this close fellowship with Him, we're never going to be everything that God would have us to be. Amen. But God is able. And when we do handle it His way, it's amazing the things that He can do in our life. This word abide, this same word translated abide, this Greek word is translated continue. On down in verse number 9, it's translated which endureth in John 6:27. It's translated continue in John 8:31, endureth in 1 Peter 1:25. So this isn't something that's reserved for Sunday only. No. This has to be a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yeah. Saturday type communion. It's closeness to God. It's a Christianity that's devoted to Christ 7 days a week. Abiding in Him is very, very necessary. It's pretty easy to come into the church house and be like a Christian. It can be more difficult out there in that nasty now and now, can't it? Truly. So we have to. So anyway, for answered prayer, that's where we're going with this. For answered prayer, we also have to learn. He said, if you abide in me. But for answered prayer, we also have to learn to abide in the scriptures. No, that's what Jesus said. He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. So get this. In all reality, the two of those are inseparable. What do you mean, preacher? To be close to God, you have to be in His Word.
Amen.
You have to be in His Word. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not a reader. Well, learn to be. Well, come on, I'm not mad. I'm smiling. But I'm telling you, no. If we're going to be close, we have to be in His Word.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to learn how to pastor now there at St. Joseph for 16 years, and I encourage people along the way. And I've had people come to me, preacher, I just don't read well. Well, get the Bible on CD or whatever that you can do. I mean, you can download apps on your telephone and turn that on and let it read while you follow along, and it will help you that. Some way, somehow, you need to be in the Bible. You know why a lot of people don't love God the way they should, and they don't follow Christ the way they should, and they're not devoted to God the way they should? It's because they're never in this book. I mean, they carry it. Some people carry it for years. They carry it back and forth to church, and the covers are pretty worn on it, but you can't tell the pages ever been turned very much. Come on, don't get mad at me. He invited me here. But it's true. It's true, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but we have to be in His Word. We have to learn to love the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 97, David wrote, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." So it's important not only that we read the Word of God, that we're in the Word of God, but that we have it hidden in our heart. King David's love for the Word of God, it kept it on his mind all day long. And over and over and over in Psalm 119, David expresses his love for the Bible. And he's talking about the whole Bible.
Amen.
No, the commandments and the law were not left out of his devotion. Because too often, ladies and gentlemen, we love the promises. We love the promises of God without loving the commands that He gives.
Amen.
And the promises are wonderful, but the commands are wonderful too.
Amen.
I know I've got to keep going with this, but here's the thing about that. The devil loves to lie to us, and our flesh is so selfish. And we see these commands that God gives us in the Bible, and for whatever reason, it's like, well, I'm not doing that. And no. And the devil will lie to us and say, if you start doing all that stuff God says to do, you're going to have the most boring life, and you're going to be miserable the rest of your days. Which is completely opposite of the truth.
Amen.
Completely opposite of the truth, truly. We have to get it out of our mind that God is some old guy up there,
right,
just mad at everybody all the time and ready to thump us every time that we do some little thing wrong. That is not our God. God is a loving, caring, wonderful, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, forgiving, guiding, heavenly Father.
Amen.
That's our God, truly. And he loves us more than we can even understand. And he wants the best for our life. And since he is the one that created us, if we're willing to listen to him, it is amazing what he can do with our life. Truly, I wish I'd have heard that when I was 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, instead of waiting until 27 to come to know Christ. I'm telling you, God loves us. And if we are willing to listen to him, follow these commands, I mean, it's amazing. Anyway, back to where we need to be so I can finish this. A true devotion to the Word of God. Listen, a true devotion to the Word of God will give us a love for all of the Scriptures. And in turn, that will help our prayer life. Were you going to get to that? Well, I'm trying. That type of love for the Word, it doesn't come naturally, though. It has to be learned, and that is done as we stay in the Word of God, as we're attentive to God's Word. That's reading the Word, studying the Word. That's being in church when the Word is taught, when the Word is preached. Colossians chapter 3, and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." Richly. Let it dwell in you richly. I mean, that is in abundance. Put it in there so that it can do a work. Look, I'm not a very smart man, but if you're going to have money in the bank, you have to make deposits. Oh, no. If you're just taking money all the time, not putting money in, it's bad. It's not going to work. And if you're going to have the word in you, you have to make deposits. You have to do that. And that's going to take more than just casual reading. It's going to take some study. It's going to take some effort. And maybe you just need to decide this morning that you're going to get serious about your devotion to the Bible. I mean, setting aside a time every day that you spend in it and allowing God to speak to your heart and hiding his word there, that you might not sin against him. It's so very important. And it's not just reading. It's not just reading the Bible. It's applying it also. You have to apply it. It comes back to those commands. I mean, being obedient to the word, letting it guide you in the way that you conduct yourself and making application in every aspect of your life. This isn't some self-help book. Right. That's not what it's all about. This is God's very word that's been given to us to guide our lives. And let me get this. Application, knowledge without application is useless. It's useless. You can have hundreds of verses memorized, but if you're not applying it, it's useless. Well, I can't believe you'd even say something like that, but it's true. I mean, you think about some child that grew up in a Christian home, went all the way through kindergarten through 12th grade in Christian school or homeschool or whatever the case may be, and they get away from home, first chance they get, and they've got hundreds of verses memorized through all this training that they got as they grew up, and they get away from home and they decide they're not going to do what is hidden in their heart, what the Word of God says, and it's not long in it. No, look up here. It's not long in it before their life just kind of goes down the tubes, because we have to apply it also. It's not good enough that it's just there. We have to apply that. Someone that does not live according to the Word of God will not do well in their prayer life. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But the results of abiding are really amazing. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then he says this, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Amazing. So if you will abide, you begin to see things that are that you truly long for. Get this, that you truly long for in your prayer life. The Lord is speaking to us here, and this will help our prayer life. I think you'll begin to see faithfulness in your prayer life, because it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask. Ye shall ask. When you're abiding in Christ and his word is abiding in you, you're going to be a praying person. Amen. Truly. I mean, the verb that's used here is in the future tense, and it guarantees that action is going to take place. That prayer will become a big part of your life. Because, listen, please. You truly cannot be doing the first part of this without this as a result. Because abiding and asking go hand in hand. Abiding is a requirement for asking. And asking is the result of abiding. abiding is a condition for asking, and asking is the consequence of abiding. Do we serve a great God or what?
Amen.
No. He said, if you'll do this, I'll do this. It's really all right here. And I really believe that this explains why a lot of people don't do much praying. What are you saying, preacher? Well, their fellowship with Christ is lacking. They don't fellowship with him the way they should. And they're not devoted to the scriptures the way that the Lord says we should be. And so it hurts their prayer life. And I really believe this with all my heart. I believe if you're looking for help with your prayer life, it's right here. I believe it'll help us. We put some effort into this. We want God to do everything. Lord, I'm gonna sit back in my recliner, and I just need you to fix all this stuff in my life and help me to be everything I'm supposed to be while I'm watching Gunsmoke. God loves you enough, he wants you to spend time with him.
Amen.
Truly spend time with him. This will also help in help with our passion in prayer. Ask. It says, ye shall ask. And there's nothing passive about that word either. It does involve humility as an inferior to a superior, but it's still earnest asking. And the same word is translated craved in Mark 15:43, begged in Matthew 27:58. It's translated desire or desired in a dozen or more places in our Bible. So if you abide in Christ and his word abides in you, you'll not only be faithful to pray, but you'll passionately pray. And let me just say this, a lack of desire to pray, please stay with me, a lack of desire to pray should make us check ourselves out. Well, why don't I pray? Why don't I want to pray? Why don't I set a time aside? Why don't I set a time aside that I'm going to spend with God? It should make us check ourselves out. Look, I know this. I was in evangelism 16 years before I took the pastorate up there in St. Joseph, Missouri. And I know this. I know that you can go into a meeting like this thinking that you're doing pretty good. And as we hear as we pray and ask God to speak to us, and as we hear the teaching and preaching of God's word in a meeting like this, we can realize that we're not where we need to be. That there are still things in our life that need to be taken care of, that need to be dealt with. And I mean, if you have a lack of desire to pray, you really should check yourself out. But it also gives you freedom in your prayer life. You shall ask what you will. That's what it says there. You can ask what you want to. You know, it's a great thing. The better that you know someone, the easier it is to talk with them.
Right.
Isn't that right? Come on, you have a very close friend. It's easy to talk to them about different things. The more you feel at ease to talk about different things. And I'm telling you, you can get to a place where you feel comfortable talking to God about anything.
Amen.
About anything. I mean, like. No. It's as if you were talking to someone that's right there, because he is right here.
Amen.
He's right there. And this too. You can talk to him about anything because he already knows everything about you. No, I'm saying you can talk to him about your failures because he already knows your failures. And he loves you anyway. And he wants to help you with those. It's almost sometimes like we don't want to talk to God. We don't want to ask God to change our life because we're afraid he will. We don't want God to take this away from us because we really do like that. I'm telling you, we can talk to God about anything. I'm thankful that I can talk to. I love my wife. My wife and I've been married 45 years, and I love my wife so very much. And we talk about a lot of things, but there's things I talk to God about that I don't talk to her about. And she knows me way too well. Don't talk to her about me, okay? But God knows me a lot better than that. And I can talk to him about anything. And he's there for me. And he listens. And he tries to help me. He really tries to help me. Ye shall ask what you will. And by the way, ye will there, it corresponds with God's will for your life. What are you saying? I'm saying that, you know, you can ask him whatever you want to. But I mean, it's not a license. It's not a license to ask for anything without taking regard of holy restrictions that we have. Well, Marshall, then, you know, if we abide in him, his word abides in us, then we can just ask him for anything. Well, I mean, that's pretty much what it says. Wow, that's awesome, because I've been needing a new four-wheeler. You can ask him for those kinds of things. It's fine. But I'm telling you what's going to help our life more. No, no, listen to me, please. What's going to help our life more is asking him for the spiritual things in our life. If we pray according to his will, the Bible says that he will answer us according to his will. We know that it's God's will to live our life for him. And so we start asking him for the things, the attributes that we need, some of his attributes that we need to live the life that he would have us to live. Love, kindness, patience. Everybody loves to pray for that one, don't they? But these are the kind of things that God wants in our life. It's his will for us. So if we're praying for these things, he's going to work on us, isn't he? Truly. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. All right, I know that verse, Brother Marshall. So if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he's going to give us what our heart desires. Oh, no, 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 stop. That's not what the verse says. The verse says if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. He'll give us the desires of our heart. If we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, spending time with him, spending time in his word, he will give our heart the right desires. He changes the desires of our heart. Our heart is wicked. Come on, you've read that verse before. It's wicked. It's desperately wicked. So we're spending time with him. He changes our heart's desires. For sure. Yeah. You can have a fruitful prayer life. You and me, we can. No, no, no. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a wonderful promise. It's wonderful. Somebody might say, I don't know. I don't know why anybody pray. Why should I pray? God never seems to answer any of my prayers. I don't know why. It doesn't do any good at all. Look, it may not for some people. But for those that abide in Christ, in whom his word abides, we have a wonderful promise here that prayers will not be without results. So let me ask you this, and I've got to stop, but let me ask you this. When's the last time that you could say that you know God answered your prayer? Whatever it might be. I'm looking for answers from you. But it's a good thing to think about, isn't it? Because if we have to go back way, way, way far to remember one, maybe some things need to be worked on a little bit. Maybe we do need revival. And I'm trying to be ugly. God wants to do something for us. I know he does. I know he does. And the assurance of these results, well, they're founded in the words of Christ. How could we ask for any better than that? I mean, truly amazing. So the question is not whether or not that Christ will keep his words, but rather will we fulfill the requirements. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Two things there. He just gives us two things to do. I think it's worth putting some effort into. So let's determine to focus on our performance and then let God take care of the promises. Because he's awful good. He's awful good at that. Father, bless the teaching of your word, we pray, please. In Jesus' name, amen.